You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Inelia Benz. After 2004, Inelia was involved with assisting lightworkers and light warriors on their path, as well as exploring and discovering what the dark side is doing on our planet. Her main focus has been the development of tools and practices which are quick and effective in raising the awareness and vibration of individuals and the planet. In January 2010, she received a request from Source to go public. The first thing she did was to establish an information source at www.ascension101.com. Many have been deeply moved and triggered by the paradigm-shifting video first released with Bill Ryan. Since then, she has continued to work behind the scenes with other lightworkers and public figures to raise the vibration of the planet. She has also collaborated with one of my favorite guests, Lucia Renee, who wrote Unplugging the Patriarchy. She has a unique perspective, having entered our density directly outside the usual incarnational processes to assist us all and the planet. So let's welcome Inelia now to the show and find out more about her. Hi, Inelia. How are you?
Hi. I'm very, very well. Thank you.
Good. There's so much. I mean, we could begin in a million different places, but let's start at... when did you first begin to know that you were different from others that were born like you?
Well, basically, I knew it right away. Even as an infant, I knew that it was a it was not typical of the way that I functioned and that other people functioned. However, I was lucky enough to be born in a family that had two very psychic, very aware siblings. And my mother was also a healer, and she was also very perceptive. So that was lucky in that sense. Also, her sisters are very aware and psychic, their background being from a genetic line that are healers and psychics and seers. Mm-hmm. So growing up in that type of environment was very lucky, but at the same time, there was a learning to be done with regards to living life as a singularity or as a person, which I wasn't accustomed to. I didn't know what I was doing.
Right. Well, this all would have taken place before your soul entered the physical body, isn't that correct?
Well, my... it's really hard to explain because most people would have a construct of the soul which has been in the timeline, or they have an experience of the timeline which is many lifetimes or a whole evolutionary process.
Mm.
For me, it was more like I wasn't there and then I was. Right?
Okay.
So it was like at the moment of entering what I consider this reality, my first recollections would be at the time of birth and talking to the being, which was the body being, the body experience of being, the physical body, and getting its agreement to collaborate with me or to house me so that I could experience this lifetime. A little bit like a walk-in, I suppose, but... So, like, in a walking, the body continues. It's the same physical body, but the soul or the being inside it is a different one that was there before.
Ah. So, in a sense, this would be your, in terms of incarnations, if you wanted to view it that way, this would be your first and last one. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
I don't have that line of going in the past for as a being, my body does, but not me as a being. And with regards to the future, that said, I don't really have any attachment or any, I don't know how to express it, because it's just, it's like a, it really is like an attachment of continuation of existence, which I don't really have, and I will be simply dissolved back into source. I don't have any, I don't see any further futures, and I don't have any attachment to either way.
Now, what is the purpose that you're here for, and how do you define the source from which you and I guess all of us have emerged from?
The purpose is just one, to raise the level of vibration of the collective, because the planet's done now. The planet's fine. It's the actual collective, not just human, but all the species, the sentient species that are involved with humans, related to humans, and in human affairs, have the possibility of raising their vibration and going on to the next stage of reality experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my job, basically, to make sure that happens. Or, and not just mine, there's millions of people who have come to the planet, both from other planets, from other dimensions, and also a few thousand who have come directly from source like myself,
mm-hmm.
to do that job. I'm not unique in any way on that
mm-hmm.
sense.
So I remember years ago when I first started hearing about the indigos incarnating, and then, of course, there were various new versions of that, and that was kind of a big fad for a while. Now the indigos have had children, and they've had children, and their children have had children. So do we have a chance here to overcome the enormous darkness which has run this planet from the beginning of time?
Oh, it's not from the beginning of time. It's actually quite recent in my when I look at it, looking at people's timelines and looking at the planet's timeline. It's quite recent. It wouldn't be from the beginning of time.
Mm.
And there's many reasons why this happened. An experiment of evolution, a meeting of duality and experience, wanting to experience duality, and all sorts of different things. But basically, the shift or the new level of awareness that should have happened or started started happening in the 50s on this timeline. And as linear time, it would be in the 50s. And it was hijacked, and the enslavers, or whatever you want to call them, they tried to stop it, but of course they can't. And they really have lost the battle. They have lost the war, but they just don't know it. And they continue fighting. They continue doing things like artificially creating fear, artificially creating darkness,
mm-hmm.
and manipulating the masses, manipulating the collective,
mm-hmm.
so that they can continue in their illusion of reality. But it's really a done deal. There is a huge awakening happening. You just have to look around. Even in everyday life, people are talking about chakras, they're talking about energy bodies, they're talking about karma, they're talking about manifestation. Things that 10 years ago you could hardly ever get any information about.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true. So would you say that there is a divine plan? And if so, are we on a timeline to end the many timelines and the parallel realms which have branched off this organic tree of life or original blueprint?
Could you reword that question? It's a little bit too complicated for me.
All right, okay, sorry. Yeah, it's too complicated for me, too. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Okay, is there a divine plan for our planet and
mm-hmm.
for this universe, for our solar system? And will these various timelines that have grown off of this one like a tree, will they be rolled back into the divine blueprint, which is the divine plan?
Okay, right. Okay, so the first part of the question, is there a divine plan? There is and there isn't, because basically, it was the collective, the conscious collective from many outside of time and space and also inside it, which asked for assistance on this particular timeline, in this particular reality of the planet, of this planet. So that's why so many have come here to help, and that's why we're experiencing all this change. Now, as I look into other timelines, some of them have done it already. I mean, they're already in a much more pliable reality where people are free, and there's others who are still enslaved,
mm-hmm.
And others which have been deleted, destroyed or deleted. I don't really have, personally, any attachment to any outcome. I'm just doing the work, and mm-hmm. it's really up to the collective whether it wants to go there or not. The way to choose, however, that's one of the rules that have been kind of violated on this particular timeline, which is, keeping the masses asleep and keeping the masses dumbed down physically
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
psychically, and then guiding them like they were zombies into a voting, like a democracy, but the other does the voting. That doesn't really carry any weight, although some forces think they do.
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
But with regards to all of the branches coming into one, I don't think that's possible, because the nature of this reality, the nature of this universe, is quantum. You know, it's like
mm-hmm.
it branches everywhere, and it's everything and nothing at the same time.
Mm.
So all possibilities do exist at any one particular moment. Right?
Mm. Well, now, according to a lot of research that has been done by people who study prophecies and the Mayan calendar and various other ancient artifacts, supposedly this particular game plan has been in effect for a certain period of time, which is coming to an end.
Yeah.
Now, is that the case? In other words, we've done everything we can possibly do on this timeline,
right?
And probably done it to death. And it's coming to an end. How? Some people call that the ascension process or the shift.
Yeah.
What? How do you view that? And when is that process actually going to kick in so that everybody will know?
Right. It's not going to happen overnight, you see, because this is the process I was talking about that started big time in the 50s.
Uh-huh.
And it's really quite subtle. And although time and everything is accelerating, and
mm-hmm.
experience is accelerating, information is accelerating, vibration is getting higher and higher every single day. What this happens, it's really all vibration. It's very quite simple. As the vibration of reality becomes higher and people's awareness expands, because as the higher the vibration of the person, the more aware they are.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if a person is very, very depressed, all they see is themselves and
mm-hmm.
darkness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they feel very lonely, very disconnected, very sad, very upset, and they just see a black pit around them. So that would be kind of the lowest vibration a person can be. As they start raising in vibration, their awareness goes outward. So I see their environment, they see their house, maybe they'll tidy up their house, maybe they'll make friends, maybe they'll start talking to others, because they'll start seeing others.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very practical that way. As the vibration gets higher and higher, we then become aware of more and more of our reality, of more and more of this universe. We start to perceive more, see more, and also have more power or ability to do with regards to our environment, with regards to our own life, our own bodies, and everything. So basically what happens, the higher the vibration of the person, the more pliable their life and their physical reality becomes.
Mm.
That's why things like the secret or manifestation and things like that came into this collective consciousness, because the world became more pliable. And even on that, it was actually hijacked as well. It became like manifestation through ego, which is not really how to make it really effective. To make it really effective, one has to see, what's my dharma? What am I here for? And then concentrate all their efforts, manifestation efforts, to achieve that. And then it becomes extremely pliable.
Oh.
you get a lot of synchronistic events and people and things happen just miraculously, you know?
Yes, yes. I mean, many people, myself included, have had days, weeks, and months of total synchronicity. And I have come to believe that that probably is our natural condition.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that we're so far out of whack or out of balance that we're unable to navigate that high level of awareness or consciousness.
Right, yeah.
So we can't really, here's the thing, the dark side is working overtime to keep us enslaved, and there seem to be elements of the dark that if they can't control us, if they realize that they can't really win this battle, they seem to be determined to destroy everything. How do we, should we just ignore that as individual sparks and work on keeping our own vibration as high as possible?
It actually goes together, you see, because if you keep your own vibration high, you're not agreeing with what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the rules of this existence is that a person cannot do something to somebody else without their agreement.
Yeah. They're pretty tricky, though.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's very tricky. The agreement can come in all sorts of ways, right?
Yes.
And I have a little example because, for example, this is something from my own personal life.
Uh-huh.
When somebody's going to leave the body, I see that their energy light kind of energy color changes. And normally when I see that, they're gone within a year. And there's been a couple of people who have changed it, and then I find out they've had some sort of illness, and then they were able to overcome it, and it changes back, right?
Uh-huh.
It changes back, and then they get better. So I learned early on in life that death is an agreement, right? When we go, it's actually we agree at that split second, it's a split second when we agree to it.
Right.
Or it could be, like, further in the future or in the past, right?
Right.
And a few weeks ago, I got up, I went to the bathroom, put the light on, and I looked in the mirror, and I saw that light. I saw the color. And I thought, how about that? And then I thought, hold on a minute, there's something odd about this color. And I traced it, I searched into it, like I zoomed into it, into the energy of it, and it had been superimposed on top of me. It wasn't mine.
Right?
Oh. So I thought, okay, so what was the intention behind it? The intention was I would look into the mirror, see that color, and think to myself, oh, I'm going to die within a year. And that would have been the agreement they needed.
Oh.
That would have been the agreement. As soon as I had believed it, it would have been the agreement.
Wow.
So they could have carried it out.
But wow.
And even for a moment, I thought, maybe I should take that agreement. You know, it would be kind of nice to just vanish again. And I thought, I haven't finished my job. I can't. Because I'm so programmed just to continue and just do the work.
Right.
I have actually no interest in myself or as a singularity and completely irrelevant.
Right.
That's another thing. So, you know, I'll go over and source the size and, or, you know, it's like when I know I've completed the mission, then I'll go, otherwise, forget it.
Right.
And the color
right.
vanished immediately.
Well, it seems like that's an important part of the spiritual evolution that we are going through as an awakening species, which is part of everything. As you said, the grass, the rocks, everything is the realization that there is no death and that we are eternal and infinite.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah.
So that takes a lot of the sting out of, a lot of the fear out of the fear-based realities which are overlaid on top of the realities which are not fear-based.
Right, right. And often the fear is body-based. Bodies are afraid of dying, of course. Even my body's afraid of dying.
Yeah.
And it's the bodies which need food and shelter, so take away their jobs and the body will become very afraid.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Now, I've heard rumors that during the ascension process or as a result of the ascension process, the lower dimensions of the third and the fourth will be absorbed into fifth and higher. Is that something that you're familiar with, or how do you feel about that?
No, I'm not familiar with that at all, actually, because the way that I see all the dimensions, really, are the layers are artificially placed there by us so we can express in a language, a human conceptual way that we can understand.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at the dimensions, it's all one, really.
Right.
We experience a little bit at a time, like bite-sized pieces of it, you know.
So what happens at the end of this game? Let's just say we're playing a Monopoly game and the game just ended. In terms of our timeline, you're saying that that's somewhere between 2012 and 2017?
Well, I'm booked until 2017. I have no idea what's going to happen after that.
You're booked. Okay. So, in other words, you signed on for that period of time, and others may have made other choices in terms of leaving prior to that date.
Absolutely,
yes. Yes. Okay.
You know, and everybody's choice is their own, and everybody can change their mind, too. Even if it comes to the last second, you can change your mind and say, I don't think I'll go now. Or, I think I will go now. You know, it's really up to each person's choice. Now, with regards to this particular reality, that in this timeline, it's going to be two or three generations before we really, really see the difference, because people will live out their natural lives who are living a very dark experience of life that was okay to them, for them to do here before. But as they die naturally, they won't be able to reincarnate here to have another type of experience like that, so they'll have to go somewhere else. So, and also each generation of people who are born here are very, you know, like you were saying, all the indigos and the crystal children and all those, there are more and more of those coming in because the vibration of the planet is higher, so they are able to survive and be housed here.
Mm-hmm.
As a being, you see. And now the new babies are being born. They're just amazing. You know,
Something else. Right. Well, now one thing that I that I was thinking about was that the true dark feed off of our energy.
Yeah.
That they don't have a source of power of their own.
Right.
Because they're not connected to the higher source.
Right.
So, in a sense, they're energy vampires and thieves, and they're very good at imitation and creating things that are like life, but not quite, like
right.
plastic, things that are imitation.
Yeah.
Do you see a breaking up of that energy in the near future?
Yeah, they have choices. They have a choice of clemency. Where they just turn into light, they have a choice to leave this reality, as we might say it, and go elsewhere where their energy is more compatible with that area.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can go back to source.
Which would mean being reabsorbed into the...
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes, without a consciousness of being
right.
the gods that they think that they are.
Right.
Then that it seems like there's a lot of ego involved with this process.
Yes.
possibly psychopathic,
yeah.
Egotistical splits in terms of their feeling of superiority over us, having
yeah.
ruled us for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things I'm curious about, there seems to be a revival of the Gnostic mythology. Are you familiar with that, where our planet is a goddess named Sophia, and she is about to give birth, meaning she's about to raise her level of vibration, and that we are part of that process? Is that just another way of seeing the same thing that we're talking about?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
I see the planet, when I look at the planet or when I tap into the planet has already done it and it's conscious. And it's not chaotic, it's actually conscious awareness, not at random. It was asleep for a long time. There was many years that I wasn't able to tap into it, but now
mm-hmm.
I can. I think it was the summer of last year that it suddenly became online. And if you just tap into it, I mean, you can tap into it. One of the ways to communicate directly with any kind of part of Gaia, a tree, an animal, a mountain, whatever, is through the energy of being in awe of that thing. You know, that's so beautiful. You just look at it and think, you're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. Look at you. And as you feel that energy towards the plant or tree or animal or rock even, you raise your own vibration, and all of a sudden you're in communication with that being. And the way they communicate is completely different to the way we do. So you become them, kind of thing, and it's slower, it's different, it's more about different. I can't even express it in human language because it's completely different, but it's also extremely high vibration.
Yes, right? Yes.
So, oh yeah, she's done it. And the collective, yes, the collective is part of the human, let me rephrase that. The collective is part of the planet, and the planet is part of the collective. We're very, very linked together. If you have a city, for example, that's very troubled, and you get a group of people who go in there to balance it, they can actually balance it through meditation, through intention, just by being at a higher vibration in that city. And I've heard that Buddhist monks have done this around the United States, and also transcendental meditators have done it, and they've done experiments and documented them, and it works. A place becomes more stable, not only with regards to humans and with less crime and everything, but actually the weather balances out. If it's a place with high seismic activity, that settles down. So it's really fascinating. The Earth and humans are really connected. And this is also something I spoke with the Cherokee elder, Willie Whitefeather, and he was saying basically the same thing, which is the humans will basically dictate what happens in their environment, you know, in the, on the planet or the location where they're at.
I love what you said about connecting with nature, because I do live in the countryside, and I've done that many times where, for instance, I have a hummingbird feeder, and I just go out there and I tell them how beautiful they are, and I just love them, and it seems to change their vibration. Of course, they're vibrating at a pretty high level anyway, you know, but they'll buzz me, and it's a wonderful way to do that. So I do agree with you that we, by loving, showing your respect and your offer for all of life, that that is the connection that we all have share.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of ascension, I have also heard that there may be some attempts at false ascension, that there will be attempts by the controllers to lead a large numbers into another paradigm.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Is that something that we need? How can we know within what the right path is? I mean, if a ship came down with beings of light that were radiating love and said, come with us, we don't know if those are dark beings or not.
You have to ask them. They can't lie.
okay. All right.
Yeah, that's one of the things. They're not allowed to lie. I mean, they might try to avoid the question or avoid the answer, but they have to answer. Plus, if they give you an ultimatum, you can pretty sure they're not light beings. The other thing is, once you deal with your own fear, right, once a person deals with their own fear, they cannot be controlled. They cannot be taken into their whatever, you know, their reality or whatever.
Mm.
It's the fear. But they, of course, they have technology which will activate your fear glands or whatever it is in the physical body. And it's very important to become aware of that. If you feel fear all of a sudden, that's not, that's like completely out of whack, and it's not something that, you know, it just came out of nowhere. Just look at it, and just by looking at it, even at a physical level, it goes away. It just becomes like a really hot part of your body, you know, it starts burning, but it doesn't affect it in a kind of fearful way anymore.
Mm. Now, do you get your directives from your team or entourage, is that correct?
Yeah, basically, when one is born as a human, one immediately comes in with an entourage of helpers and guides and beings who are there to do the same job, both as humans, both as like other type of beings from different dimensions, or, you know, people give them different names and things, and some people don't give them any names, it's just annoying.
Mm-hmm. And then that continues throughout our life as we strip away some of the what's not real and move closer into alignment with our soul's purpose.
Yeah.
And, of course, now we're technically we're running out of time in a linear sense, but we're moving into a period where there's no time. Isn't that correct?
Well, linear time is very artificial and very localized.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you see. It's not about no time, but it's just that time where you can move back and forth and sideways if you want.
Yes, right? Yeah. And we've been kind of conditioned to think in terms of, you know, one way and time to get to work.
Yes.
Lunch break. Lunch break is over.
Yeah.
Time for the second job.
Right. Yeah.
How can we, as awakening beings of light, gain and maintain a balance in the world of such vast corruption and evil, which is constantly being constantly bombarding us?
Creating a balance. When I find that I personally get overwhelmed with some sort of something that they're sending, or I get overwhelmed through my own silly mistakes, by putting into my body or in my environment things are negatively vibrating negatively, and it just overwhelms me because there's so much stuff coming from elsewhere. The thing to do is just process that vibration. You process it, and you don't. The process methods that I use are very similar to Lucia Renee's. It's basically accepting, allowing it to be there, and infusing it with light, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we process those, and really, it's an agreement whether we agree to engage with their reality or what they're sending or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do I agree with this, yes or no? And it's really amazing because I've heard, and personally speaking also, I grew up in Nottingham in England in a neighborhood which was one of the worst crime-ridden neighborhoods in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you hear it in the news and stuff, that stuff was happening, but I honestly can tell you that I never saw anything.
Hmm.
I never experienced anything. I used to walk home like at around 10 o'clock in the evening or whatever, or even later when I was a teenager. Nothing ever happened to me. I never saw a drug dealer or anything. It was like, and I was in the same environment of all these people that were having all these things happen to them.
Oh.
You know? So it really depends. And I've heard of other people having that same experience from other parts of the world.
Yeah.
So it's really, do we agree with it or don't we agree with it? And if something triggers fear in us, then we process the fear first and then make decisions.
Mm. And it sounds like it puts us in a bubble of safety and almost like, in a sense, in our own dimension.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just as there are forces of the dark that have usurped our abilities and our powers and kept us dumbed down and the rest of it, we know, are there also forces of light from the highest realms outside of the matrix of control which are working from that side to bring down the veils which keep us in bondage?
Yeah, I do believe there is. I've had some information about the support and their... I've sensed their support, I sense their protection, because I don't use any type of psychic or otherwise protection, even physical, right?
Mm.
And I've personally had death threats and all sorts of veil threats and direct threats, you know, to stop doing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, no, I'm not agreeing with that. I have no attention on it. I'm not going to agree with what you're saying or doing. But at the same time, I feel this huge protection around me,
mm-hmm.
From at a physical level as well as a psychic level.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure that, yeah, they're there.
Nah. Well, I heard your story about your run-in with the dark being of, which I highly recommend. We probably don't have time for you to recount that tonight, but I highly recommend that people go to your site, ascension101.com or anelia.com. I think it is anelia.com.
Yeah.
And listen to that entire interview, because it is a mind-blowing interview, and it's you can get something out of it every time you listen to it.
Yeah, the interview is in the video section of the ascension101.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, what about, I'm going to just throw something out here now. What about the ETs? We hear that there are intergalactic confederations, galactic confederations, that there are good ETs, there are bad ETs, there are medium ETs, that they come in all shapes and sizes, that there are archons, and so on and so forth. What's your experience and advice about being involved with extraterrestrial information?
Okay, well, basically there are hundreds of species out there and in the planet which are related to us and have a big say or interest in what we're doing, because it is going to affect them too, you see, because they share some genetic material with us
right.
a time ago. So we're kind of related. We're cousins.
Yeah.
And whatever happens to us is going to have repercussions to their own species. And this is the reason why some of them want to stop us and some of them want to encourage us, right? Some of them are enslaved themselves and are enslavers and stuck in that type of matrix. And so they feel very threatened with our ascension process. Because it's going to affect them. They can't help it, right? They're genetically connected to us. And all I can say is, if you focus on those, send them love and light, because the more love and light they receive, the more they themselves will become more aware and will become less enslaved.
Okay.
So, and I recently stated that I'm willing to collaborate with any species that supports this process, right?
Right.
And that's absolutely true. I don't think that... if you think of ETs and other species as neighbors or cousins or relatives who are just as aware, or maybe more aware than we are, some of them are, but they are just different species. They're nothing extraordinarily, like, you know, different. They're not here to save us, because it's all about the collective. Human collective, and that's what we're doing. They have, many of them have sent their own evolution, like people who have evolved in their planets, to incarnate here on the planet for two reasons. One of them is so that they can experience directly what's happening here in their own collective, and also to, as many of them have volunteered, to come into a much thicker, lower vibrational reality so that they can help raise the level of vibration just by existing here.
Right.
Not doing any missions, not doing any work, just by being here alive as a human. Right.
Right. And of course, I've read some of your work and some of the work of others who say that there were many waves that came in from higher dimensions that got, shall we say, densified by the dark. And didn't make it quite. They weren't able to remember their mission.
Right. Yeah. Because what happens is, as you enter this particular game board, part of the agreement is that you're going to get amnesticized or whatever, amnesia. Right.
Right. Right.
And I mean, one chooses what one remembers, or what one forgets.
Yes.
And many have chosen to just incarnate as a human being, a regular human being, forget who they were or whatever, so they could have a proper human experience. And they're very vulnerable. I mean, a lot of these individuals are like babes in the woods, you know, it's like extremely vulnerable. One can identify them because they're so innocent, especially growing up. They think everybody's good. And they think that everybody has the planet and their welfare in mind. And they can never understand why anybody would say something selfish, or why anybody would say a lot, tell them a lie or whatever, you know.
Yes.
And lies are a sure sign of darkness, you know. It's like, as when I was younger, I remember I would always know when somebody was lying to me. But I would accept what they were saying because I thought, well, it must be really important for them to say that. So I would just accept what they're saying and pretend that, you know, I believe it. But, you know, it's like I didn't understand the mechanics of it, that as a person says a lie or thinks a lie about somebody else, their vibration actually lowers.
Do you see that the you've worked with Lucia Renee some, and I know she's done a lot of work on the subtle levels, to undo some of the darkness that has been created around various places and secret sites and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
How is that progressing?
Lucia and I have been working very closely together since last July, that's July 2010, and we continue to do so. We chat at least once a week, if at all possible, and we do energy work, and we do have a read of what's happening and take a look and see what each other is doing and help each other out, because, for example, Lucia is a warrior, right?
I love her.
You know, she's a mystic warrior of the first degree, you know. She's and she's tough, and she's extremely intelligent. She's she's a statistician as well. The word when you make plans, what's that? What is it when somebody will look at a situation and make a plan of action?
I don't know.
Well, she does that. And also she's really good at structures. And one of the things is I don't comprehend and I don't understand structure. And she was able to show me quite a lot and teach me quite a lot about that.
Oh.
And how structures can be created and help as tools or how they function within their bodies in order to help people in their work, you know. We've basically moved away from the battles because we were getting into the thick of the battlefields quite a lot, but then the work changed. There was an actual change at one point, and I feel it's when the war was won. We both, without actually talking to each other at the time, but we kind of took the same decision at the same time. We weren't going to do both. We weren't going to be teaching and helping people with their ascension process and create battle at the same time, or not create, but join battles at the same time.
Mm-hmm,
because we can't do everything, right?
Right, right.
There's only 24 hours in a day in this physical body, and this physical body needs to sleep, needs to eat.
Right.
And so we couldn't do both, and we both decided we're going to move on, although we do check in every now and then to see how things are happening. And there are occasionally entities who want to engage, and we do engage them. But it's always by looking at them and not agreeing to engage in their terms.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dark beings will always want to engage at a fight level. They want to engage to destroy, to enslave, to fight in a way that I used to do in the past. I would engage them that way too, because that was the way they wanted to engage. But then, as I changed my work here, the engagement comes in and it's just standing and being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not engaging at that level, but simply focusing on them and not doing anything, because as soon as one focuses, then source comes through, and one is just a conduit, and it goes through to the other being, and the whatever happens or needs to happen to that being happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not really up to us to judge or to fight them or to do anything, really.
Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense, Anilia. It really does. It really does. To stand in your own being and allow without judgment, and that opens up the channels for source to work through us.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's a wonderful way of putting it.
Yeah. Although I have to admit, you know, it's like I'm human too, and sometimes I get sucked into the drama, you know.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, going for the fight, you know, I have to catch myself, you know. It's like, but yeah. It might take half an hour, and then we'll go, oh, God, I've got to get out of this. And then I center myself, I come back, you know, but it's like, yeah, it's, you know, like a good scrap.
Well, especially I would think when you are seeing psychically the horrors that some of these beings are manifesting here. I don't need to mention them, but we all know that the worst thing that you can imagine is going on right now.
Yeah.
So, and it's going on right under the guise of light, of religion, and politics, and everything else. So,
yeah.
It must be difficult to not feel the need to, have some kind of karmic retribution.
That's right. Yeah, it is difficult because when that happens to me, though, what I do is I go back to center and I process my own anger or fear or disgust first, right? And then I go back and I just look at them and allow that energy to come through me without me putting any flavor into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a lot more effective.
Mm, yeah.
I don't, you know, once you release attachment to results, that.
Right, right. Right, absolutely right. Are you still moved around? I know I identified with that when I heard you mention that in your video. Because I'm moved around all the time. I'll get an urge to go to the store in the middle of the night and get some ice cream, and
yeah.
I'll find somebody standing in an aisle, and we'll have a brief encounter, and I just know that was why I was going to the store.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of people related to that. What was the reaction to that video? I know there's been some adverse reactions, minimal adverse reaction, which is expected. But did you have a wave of positive reactions to that?
Yes, it's been 90%, I'd say, positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say about 7% indifferent and 3% negative to it, really.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's because it's a message, and Bill and I kept, we didn't release it for quite a while. I mean, we recorded it in March.
Huh.
But he wanted to release it right away, but every time I looked at it, I thought, no, it's not ready yet. The energy's not right. And so we, I had to look through it, and, you know, he allowed me the option to give my final say, yeah, it's ready now. And one of the things that happened, for example, was that as he was editing it, he told me he would go into an altered state himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was obvious from the start that it had nothing to do with me, really, the video interview, but there's some sort of energy or force that came through, and everybody who is open to it would receive whatever it is that they need
mm-hmm.
by looking at the video. And like you said, when you watch it again, then something else comes through.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that has been wonderful about it is that so many people, thousands of people have emailed me saying, I'm just like you, you know, it's like, this is my life experience.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
That's how I experience life. And
mm-hmm.
it's just to say, look, you're not alone, and yep, now it's time to do this work. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's wonderful to have so people like you on the forefront validating the positive side, because for so many years, I think a lot of us who have been doing our homework or trying to shift into a spiritual mode have felt that, you know, we've been kind of alone out there on the abandoned on an island.
Right.
And now we can begin to see that there are forces arriving.
Exactly.
Refreshing forces, to be sure.
Yeah.
And that it isn't, we're not alone, and we
right.
are all in this together. And that brings me to another question. Do you see in the ascension process, do you see all, this is a big question for everybody, do you see a partial ascension of people who are ready to ascend, or people going to different levels, or some not making it, or how, is that a linear view of ascension process?
Yeah, it's a little bit linear, but the answer is actually quite simple.
Okay.
If you want to know where you are in the ascension process, have a look and see how pliable your reality is. Right? How pliable is it? How many synchronistic events and things are happening around you? And then you'll know where you are.
Right?
And if you're in a lot of fear right now and everything's going wrong for you, then you need to process your fear and you can come out of it. You don't need a savior. You don't need anybody else to do it for you. You can do it yourself.
Mm.
Process your fear, and that will raise your vibration, and you'll start that new, like, the entering into the new shift thing.
Well, that's a wonderful answer. I like that one. And also, isn't the universe a mirror for us to make our corrections? Because it's an inner process, and what we see out there around us is the mirror for us to make course adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything, like even this conversation and the person that's listening to it, is really happening at a subjective level. Even
mm-hmm.
if they think it's objective, because, like, you know, science has separated the two.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't really. It's happening inside your perceptions, your mind. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and when I know that I'm doing okay, it's that, you know, it's like the environment is reflecting back to me that support, that love, that pliability of me being able to interact with it at a very deep level.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all inside me, really, right?
Well, now, in a sense, if we think about time not existing, this has already happened and we've already succeeded.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so if we project into that, into the reality that's outside of this timeline, then we know that we've already made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's a hard thing to keep in mind.
Right.
So.
And that's actually, that reminds me there, when we did a call with Lucien on the 13th of August, we did an exercise for changing the collective timeline, or not changing, but like tapping into a collective timeline that we like. This is how I like to see it. And it was basically, it's a little exercise, it's only like 4.5 minutes long, and I've placed it on the tools tab of the Ascension 101 website, and it's on YouTube as well. And one of the things that I'm asking people is to click on it and just do the exercise and then share it, because the more we do it, the more of us that do it, the better. Because the more of us are tapping into that particular one, which is basically an earth which is clean, clean air, clean water from our taps, clean cities, clean collectives, you know, and tapping into that energy and that reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, just so that we have a good idea of how you see ascension, can you give us a description of what that process might be like for humanity as we go through that? I mean, what is the ascension process itself? Is it the return to source, or reconnection to our higher self, lifting of the veil, all of the above, none of the above?
Well, all of the above with each individual will be something different.
Okay.
Because, for example, somebody who is in a very deep depression, their ascension process might bring them to contentment, right?
Mm.
And then somebody will want to go all the way back to source. So they can do that. I mean, it's wide open right now. The moment and time space that we are at the moment is unique. And I think it's probably because of where the planet is going through at a galactic level. It's going through this area of very high vibration. And also all these other things are happening. And all these beings have come into the planet to raise the level of vibration of the planet. So, and this very moment is wide open, so each individual can really choose where they want to go. There'll be individuals who really just want a very similar reality to this one, but more pliable, where they have more power and ability to create the stuff they want, the reality they want, to be able to be supported by the environment, to be able to not have to pay to live on this planet.
Right.
Very simple things, but very physical things also, right? Perhaps they want to meet their soulmate or something like that, you know, experience a level of connection with another person or another group or just with source, or be able to see other dimensions and other beings, or to be able to communicate with ETs, you know, at a physical level.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be all sorts of different flavors and capacities that each individual want to achieve. And the beauty of it is that it can happen all in the same planet.
Right.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to share what you feel, given the feedback that you've had from people and given your own experience and your connection to Source. What's the most important message you would like to share with us tonight?
Okay, the most important message is the secret that the powers that were don't want you to know is that we are able to create and to manipulate our own reality.
Mm.
Right? Now. Mm-hmm. Not in the future, not in the past, but now. And the only reason why we're not doing that, like really each individual is not doing that, is because the agreement and the programming has been placed there by the powers that were to say that we can't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We take away that agreement and we can do it. Right? And
mm-hmm.
What is that agreement? Is the energy of fear.
Mm-hmm.
The energy of fear what others might do with the reality, the energy of fear what might we do if we have free reign of what we can do, fear of taking full responsibility for everything, because it's so much easier, right, to give responsibility to somebody else. To
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say that's what it is.
Wonderful. Well, I hope that you're one of many thousands of people who will come to the fore and start sharing. You certainly are on the forefront right now. And I was thinking it might even be fun for you and Lucia and myself to do a show together sometime.
Oh, I love that idea.
Oh, yeah. I just love having her on the show. And the second I saw you in that video, I just felt an instant bonding with you. I had to talk to you.
Thank you.
And you're such a delight and a wonderful person to have on the planet. I can't thank you enough for being here and, for being who you are. That takes a lot of courage, and you do it with a grace and finesse.
Oh, thank you.
Before we go, let's make sure that everybody knows how they can find you, and if there's any event that you're going to be at that you want to talk about, mention that as well.
Mm-hmm. They can find me at ascension101.com,
mm-hmm.
and there's a newsletter there and also an events page, and if they click on they subscribe to the newsletter, anything that I might be involved with will be posted there.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Anelia, thank you so much for being with us. Come back again, and you have an open invitation to be on the show. And like I said, maybe we can do a three-way call with Lucia again.
I would love that. Thank
you
so much.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I guess that's it. Be in the light. Raise the vibration.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Anelia.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.